section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Surgery news, what happens if TNA goes under, and we talk Elimination Chamber. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Take lots of
episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Hideo Itami, well, he had surgery on his shoulder. So what's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so Hideo Itami, he was supposed to be in that number one contenders match at NXT last week. And unfortunately, he was unable to compete and he just had surgery. Looks like the timetable for return is about 6 months, which, you know, is a long time to be out of the ring. But, you know, Kenta, he had a lot of wear and tear on his body. But once he gets back, I think that we're going to see some pretty good things from him.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to see him come back. The other thing is that he's actually a little bit older than most wrestlers that they bring into NXT. He's actually 34 years old. So I'm surprised about this move. But I think this is actually going to hurt when WWE goes over to tour in Japan, because they were looking forward to seeing him. I mean, he'll be there, but they wanted to see him wrestle. You know, they wanted to see him pull out the GTS. So... yeah, that's pretty sad. But, you know, it's going to be a six-month timetable, so it's basically going to be when they have their pay-per-view. Yeah, I think there's one in November, if I'm correct, that they'll have.
Yeah, so he might be back for something like that. You know, with a lot of times with wrestlers, they tend to push themselves a little bit more. And, you know, Kenta probably is from that mindset. So what we'll probably end up seeing is we'll probably see him return for the next NXT pay-per-view. Not the next one, but the one after that.
That's correct. Yeah, not the one that happens in August, but the one that happens in, well, it actually happens in November, which is about the timetable for him to come back. You know, speaking of another shoulder injury, Sami Zayn actually has a rotator cuff injury as well, and he's going to get surgery on it, which he could be out as something as little as 3 months. It could be as long as 6 months. So we could see something happen where maybe Owens has the title that entire time. And then, you know, they said that you're going to have a three-way match against people. You don't know who they're going to be, blah, blah, blah. And it could be Sami Zayn and Hideo Itami. You never know.
And they're doing a great job. I mean, with Owens and building him up as this monster heel who's just going through everybody at NXT, and Sami Zayn being out for, you know, he'll probably only be out for 3 months, I would imagine. And when he comes back, you know, we'll see Owens, Zayn, round three. I think that's the time that you take the title off of Owens and give it back to Zayn.
But does he really need the title, though?
No, he doesn't need the title. I mean, realistically, most of those people don't really need the title. But I think storyline-wise, if you really want to help get Sammy over, having Sammy finally overcome the odds, you know, he's lost to him twice, finally getting that win over Kevin Owens will be a big step.
Yeah, but I think the bigger step would be if Owens actually beats Cena, though.
Well, I'm talking Owens, Zayn.
Yeah, but I'm switching right to Owens,
but
Cena.
But, no, here's the thing, though. Zayn, he needs to be able to beat Owens in order for that storyline to come full circle. Because Zayn wins the title, his first title defense is against Owens, and he immediately loses the title, right? And so if you're looking at the story, if you want to make it where Zayn will be put over in a very favorable light, that's what you do. You don't want to Christian this. You know, Christian won the World Heavyweight Championship. His first title defense was against Randy Orton. He immediately loses it. And while, yes, he technically won it back by a disqualification, don't count that, because that was not a real win. That was a fake win. Realistically, Christian won that title once, and he never got it back.
Okay.
I guess. And so what I'm saying is you don't want to do that with Zayn. You know, I think that really hurt Christian's character. I don't think you should do that with Sami Zayn.
Well, basically what happens when you do that with Christian, you give Zack Ryder the opportunity to let him have his finishing move.
Yeah.
But why would you think about that? That the Nassau Coliseum is going to be no longer around. Did you think it was interesting that they actually let Zack Ryder wrestle against John Cena, of all things?
I think it was an okay move. You know, Cena needed a person to be fed to him. And while, you know, him and Ryder get along, you know, they just needed somebody to take on Cena. Nobody in their right mind thought that Zack Ryder was ever going to win. But it was, you know, it was an entertaining match. I watched that one completely. I thought that the Entourage cast did actually a really good job of selling that. You know, a lot of times these people, they come out to boos, and the Entourage cast was, you know, no different. They were getting booed, but I thought it was pretty cool. You know, they got a huge pop once they announced Zack Ryder. So
I thought that was interesting. They had so many of those chairs just available at ringside. Mm-hmm. I just I don't know why I found that intriguing, but yeah. So the Nassau Coliseum, I don't know what's going on with it. We're probably tearing it down because the crapple. Yeah. That's why the Islanders left, went to Brooklyn. But anyways, that's a different story. So, you know, getting back to Cena Owens, I thought that it was interesting, of course, that Owens came out right after that match and basically gave the pop-up powerbomb to John Cena. Now, here's my thing with this. The pop-up powerbomb I do like, but I think the fact that he just takes him, he basically knocks him down, and then one hand throws him into the ropes to do the pop-up powerbomb. I think that's actually kind of weak.
The problem with it is when he had the package pile driver as his finisher in Ring of Honor. And, it, you know, the way that you do it, you can do it where it protects the person. It does not hurt their neck. Obviously, WWE is very, you know, conservative when it comes to those types of moves. So they're not going to really do them because one mistake. I mean, you know, John Cena could be paralyzed, you know, your biggest moneymaker. So they're not going to do that. But the pop up powerbomb, you have to, you knock him down. Oh, I'm going to pick you up, throw you in the ropes real quick, then do my little thing. A little weird, you know, a little weird. So, but, you know, the segment as a whole, I enjoyed. I think Cena did a great job beforehand, really putting Owens over, saying, you know, I don't think that the people are going to be chanting, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. I think people are going to be chanting, fight Owens, fight instead. And I was like, oh, that's good. You know, you're helping put over the person. I think that that's a smart move. I think that this is the one match for me that I don't know who's going to win. Who do you think? I mean, you know, Owens, Cena at Elimination Chamber this Sunday. Who do you have winning this one?
Let's see. Cena got his new shirt at WrestleMania. So it's been 2 months. It's about time for Cena to get a new t-shirt.
Now, for the title either, from everything I've seen.
You know, that's right. I haven't seen. I think it's for the title, but there's nothing that states it is. That's the
all I've seen is champion versus champion. That's all I've seen.
Yeah. This is a tough one, actually. If it's definitely for the title, in this case, I would actually see Cena losing. If it's not for the title, I don't see him losing. But here's the other problem. They've taped stuff for NXT already. So it's kind of one of those things. You just can't do that.
Well, so, and I disagree. I think it's the reverse for me, because if it was for the title, I would say Owens doesn't win. But if it's not for the title, that's when I say, oh, anyone could win this then.
Okay. You know, I just got confirmation. It is not for the title. It's just a singles match.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought it was anyway. But, you know, regardless, I in my opinion, you can have Owens win. You can have him win by a nefarious way if you really want to. You can have him cheat to win, you know, throw a tantrum, whatever you want to do. And the thing that you can do with that is Owens wins. He goes to NXT and says, I beat the greatest wrestler for WWE and John Cena. There's nothing left for me here. You know, I'm going to run through everybody. You know, that's an option that they have. You know, I think that if Cena beats Owens, I think that you really stifle his momentum then. I think then Owens is kind of, he goes back to NXT and it's a, yeah, I lost to the best guy there, so I'm going back to the minor leagues. So in my opinion, while I think that this is a big toss-up, I think that Owens is going to win this.
Man, you know what? I can tell you here in just a minute if he's actually going to win it. I actually have a theory. Because WWE doesn't screw things up a lot of times.
I'm sorry, what?
They don't screw things up a lot of the time.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. I can tell you what's going to happen, all right? I just had to, I had to make sure, because I had to look up a spoiler. But just to let you know, John Cena wins. I'm sorry. Kevin Owens will win by disqualification. I'm saying it right now. This will be the first time you see the Samoa Joe at a WWE pay-per-view. Not an NXT, because here's why. Spoiler alert for everyone listening. If you're listening to this, I would stop listening right now. Okay, here's why. Samoa Joe wrestles at the second set of tapings, which is going to be, it's going to be on Wednesday. Okay, so because of that, Owens is on commentary. So why not have something, it's a non-title match on week three at the same thing.
And it gives him something to talk about.
He screwed me over. And because of that, that's, I'm going to wrestle him the following week on NXT, because you could set that up then.
And I think is a really great theory. That may happen. They have been doing stuff like that in the past where they have, you know, Sami Zayn, they cut from him talking to just reaction shots from Kevin Owens, and he talks about wrestling Cena. You know, they do stuff like that, which is totally fine. And that could happen, especially based on their history that they've done so far. Now, Andy, one of the other things that's going on, which is going inside the chamber, is the tag title match. So, you know, I don't want to list all of them off, but I got to ask you, who is the favorite to win this one?
Oh, the New Day is going to win. I'm just saying right now.
You don't think that this is a good opportunity, though, to take the titles off of them and put them on somebody else?
The only other team that I would see them putting the titles on are Primetime Players, but that's it. I don't see Lucha Dragons getting it right now, and pretty much everyone else is just filler. You know, Ascension's a filler. Cesaro and Kidd are fillers at this point. Nothing against them because they're just there for that match.
Well, let's talk turkey here. The tag titles are the lowest title you can get in the WWE. You know, unlike other organizations where the tag titles are treated as kind of a second tier, you know, like even before the world title, that's where the big guys have it. You know, Legion of Doom were a big tag team that had that title. Now, we have the New Day, which I like them as a heel faction. I think that they're great, but they're not Legion of Doom. They're not 3D. They're not Edge and Christian. You know, that they're not them. And so I could see the Ascension winning here. I'm not saying that they're gonna, but I'm saying I could see them winning. I think that this is a time where you give it to the Primetime Players, though. I think that would be my move if I was doing this, and then have New Day feud with Primetime.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Who are Luke Harper and the other one?
Rowan.
Thank you, Rowan. Who are they feuding with right now? No one?
Okay. No one.
Because they just started using the 3D. So it would be interesting if they came out, and if you want to make those guys faces, you have them come out after New Day wins the titles and they pull off the 3D, and they basically take care of New Day that way. So then there's the quick title change the following day on Raw.
I mean, that's an option, but I would almost rather see a couple of different tag team feuds here. I would like to see Cesaro and Kidd versus the Ascension and the Primetime Players against New Day. You know, that's what I would like to see. And then bring them back together maybe at the next showing, do a Fatal 4-Way, elimination tag, something like that, I think would be really cool. But I'll tell you this right now. I'm really looking forward to this match. This is one of this pay-per-view in general, I think is going to be fantastic, especially compared to the last two that we've seen, which have been terrible. I think this one, the six matches that they've announced so far, all look really great. So I'm looking forward to it.
Now, have they said if this is going to be 3 hours or not?
They haven't. They've announced six matches. You figure, you know, they could do that in 2 hours. But I think that this might be like a 2.5, you know, they might just go with it.
The other thing they said was that 5 minutes each pot, then a pod will open. So if you go from that route, that's 20 minutes minimum for each elimination chamber.
Yeah.
And you got to think curtain to curtain, you're talking 30 minutes, best case scenario for each one of those. So that's 1 hour. So that means you're going to have four matches of 1 hour. You're talking curtain to curtain, best case scenario, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's plus having, you know, with Neville and Bo Dallas and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, Actually, yeah, this has to be 3 hours. So they're probably going to add a couple more matches. I mean, we do have Daniel Bryan coming out, and he's going to get interviewed on the pre-show, which if they're doing an hour for the pre-show, so that means, you know, it's going to have to be 3 hours.
Yeah, I imagine that they'll add in another random match in there. You know, maybe we'll see the Meta Powers, you know, the Mega Powers. I don't know why they don't call it the Meta Powers. That'd be the perfect name for them. But the I'm going to call them the Meta Powers. The Meta Powers probably will have a match or something, you know, against some random team. Who knows? But Andy, the other one, though, is the IC title match, which is also the Elimination Chamber. And actually, before we even talk about that, I got to ask you, what closes the show, that one or the world title match?
World title match will always close it.
Doesn't always happen that way, though. But
it'll
close it. Okay, you think so. All right, back to the IC title match. Who's the favorite to win?
Sheamus. I don't think he deserves it, but he's probably the favorite right as we speak.
Yeah,
even though I would rather see, I mean, you could do a couple different ways. R-Truth is not going to win it. Let's just throw that out there. Ryback, I think, should win it, but he won't win it. King Barrett, you know, if you're going to put it on him, he's going to have it for a while, so he's not going to have it. Rusev, no. Dolph Ziggler, I would appreciate him actually having the IC title, but he won't get it either. So, you know, narrowing it down, Sheamus is going to have to be the one that actually gets it.
Yeah, I mean, truth is, no chance in hell. Ziggler and Rusev, I think them feuding, they don't need it. You know, those two do not need to have the title for their feud. And then we have Barrett and Ryback and Sheamus really are the other three. And I agree. I think that Sheamus is the one that could walk out with it. But what I would do here is I would start a program with Sheamus and Ryback. And the reason I would do that is because I think they've done a pretty decent job with Ryback. I think that Ryback has really learned a lot also. He's been able to turn a crowd. When they were chanting Goldberg, he came up with some little quip, and then they started chanting Ryback, you know, or Feed Me More. And that's something that you learn over time. That was a veteran move. You know, even during his program with CM Punk, honestly, there were things that he was learning that I was very impressed with that he was doing very well. So, but I think that giving Ryback some gold, which he's never had in WWE, I think that would be a very smart move. But don't just give it to him. Let him work for it. You know, have him beat Sheamus to win the IC title. And guess what? Then you're going to have some guy that, you know, could potentially be main eventing for you in a couple years.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah. So, you know, I guess it's narrowed down to basically eliminate everyone except Sheamus and Ryback is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And they can go either way with that. But I think you're right. You know, having Ryback actually make him believable, I think, would actually help. But this will be interesting to see how they book it. The Ambrose Rollins, I think we're all in agreement right at this point now that Rollins is going to win. And somehow it's going to be a cheap way of him winning. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe Ambrose will get arrested halfway through the match so he can't finish it. So Seth Rollins will win by countout and say, no one else can beat me.
Speaking of which, what did you think of, I mean, Rollins and Ambrose, you know, we had 3 hours of Raw and they were on probably a full hour's worth of it. What do you think?
Oh, man. At some point, you just got to say, okay, it works, but it just works, if that makes sense. I guess you don't want to, you want to showcase those two guys, which is great. My only problem is that they started talking about the next pay-per-view after this already.
Mm-hmm.
So my theory is that Rollins wins and then somehow, you know, someone, maybe a Dean Ambrose wins the Money in the Bank. That's the only thing I could think of. I don't know, man. This is one of those that no matter how I look at it, it's pointless. And I actually do believe that this pay-per-view, that if it has nothing to do with the Elimination Chamber, anything else that happens is pointless. The Divas match is pointless. Okay, I take that back. Cena versus Owens actually makes sense. But it would be better if it was an Elimination Chamber.
Why? It's only two people.
That's not the point. Throw the guy outside the ring. You know, so? Owens will take that bump multiple times if he knows that he's going to get over. Throw someone through the
pod. Yeah, but it's only two people, though. Two people.
Yeah, go on.
They've never done an Elimination Chamber match with two people.
It's well, maybe he wants to lower it than Samoa Joe's in one of the pods, and then they wait for Samoa Joe. After 10 minutes, he gets released into the wild.
So anyway, I disagree with you. I actually enjoy the fact that they're talking about the next pay-per-view because it's Money in the Bank, not because, you know, they're just talking about the next pay-per-view. But the fact that Reigns has said, I'm already entering myself into it, I think that's genius. I think that's a really smart move because that's him saying there's an importance to this. Now, I don't think Reigns should win it, and I think it'd be a very bad move for him to win the Money in the Bank. I still think Ambrose is the smart play right here. But I'm okay with that. I agree, though. Also, Rollins is going to win this. You know, we could have Ambrose win by DQ or something like that, but Rollins retains no matter what. And if they gave Ambrose the title, I think it would be a very bad move, in my opinion. I think that would not make the title worth less. But I think that that moment, and I talked about it last week and the week before that, the moment of him winning the title, you want to make it a big deal. Just like when Daniel Bryan beat John Cena at SummerSlam, when CM Punk did it at Money in the Bank, those were huge moments. Those were things that when you saw it, it was oh my God, this just happened. And at SummerSlam this year, you know, and I said it last week, you have Reigns take on Rollins. And if Reigns beats him, then guess what? Reigns gets that vindication, and that's what you want to do. And so that's what I, in my opinion, that's what I would, you know, if I was writing this is what I would do.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script as well as their free site builder and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So since TNA, well, yeah, there's not much to talk about. So let's talk about what would happen if TNA was to fold. Basically, there was some speculation. We talked about it last week a little bit. And then, of course, one of the other guys, Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer, he got blasted because they said that what he was saying about them being canceled was not true. Even though I will say on his defense, he actually threw something out. He goes, can you deny the other stuff? Not the cancellation part, but deny what he also reported. And there's been nothing said. It's just that they said they would take legal action. Well, they can take legal action against them all they want, but realistically, when it comes down to it, he said, is there any part of that that's true? Because if they're going to sue him over it, all that has to be false, which I find funny. So anyway, so that's why we want to talk about what if it's true TNA's may have to fold because they don't have anywhere in the United States to be on TV yet. The big thing is, what do you think will happen with Ring of Honor, Aaron?
So, yeah, if TNA went under, let's just say September, they're done. Ring of Honor, I think that they would get a little bit of an injection here of some really good talent because there are some people in TNA that WWE just wouldn't be able to take. They couldn't add them to their roster. So you would see an influx of people such as an Austin Aries would definitely go there. Bobby Roode could potentially, I think he has more of a WWE written on him. Same thing with Magnus, but you would see an influx of certain people. And I think that'd be really good. It would help Ring of Honor out quite a bit, actually. The only problem here, though, is that Ring of Honor, there are rumors that they are in financial trouble. And so what would happen if people went to Ring of Honor and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, now we're closing shop, too. So that's the only thing that could be a potential issue with Ring of Honor. But I think in this scenario, though, TNA closes shop, Ring of Honor, in my opinion, would be the clear number two.
I don't think that they would ever close up shop. I heard that there were some money issues where they...
You're talking about Ring of Honor?
I'm sorry about... Yeah, what I meant was Ring of Honor. I heard there were some money issues with Ring of Honor. But realistically, they said they're not making a lot of money, if that makes sense. They're making money, but they're not making WWE money, which I think that some people need to realize that, hey, if you as a promotion, if you're anywhere in the black, you're doing great. As soon as you hit the red, that's where the problem is. But also, there's a lot of people that actually do they do like watching the pay-per-views. I guess, by the way, their next pay-per-view is June 19th, Ring of Honor's Best of the World 15. Mm-hmm. I don't see there being an issue with Ring of Honor because I think WWE, because they've gotten so many people from there, that they would probably float them a couple bucks. Say, hey, here you go. Hey, here you go. That's what I think would happen with them. It would be actually awesome if maybe some Ring of Honor stuff got, you know, thrown onto the network, but that'll never happen. But I don't see Ring of Honor actually going under. That's the one thing I don't see.
So assuming they don't go under, are they the clear number two to you?
Yeah, easily. I mean, I know that GFW is trying to do some stuff, but realistically, come on, let's be honest. GFW is unproven.
And they are. And you know, obviously we have Lucha Underground, but that's so niche. You know, I mean, that's not going to, you know, really do a whole lot. So, GFW, though, they have an opportunity to get some of those TNA talent that were Jeff Jarrett guys. You know, like, who knows? Maybe Bobby Roode and Magnus were big Jeff Jarrett guys. And so they go to GFW now, and they get to compete with people from NJPW and people from Lucha and Ring of Honor. But it's in one central promotion. Does GFW have an opportunity here to rise up and be a number two or a very close number two in competition with Ring of Honor?
Okay, do you want to hear my theory on GFW?
I do.
Okay, I don't think I talked about this last week, did I? About how they're airing the Behind the Curtain on ABC next month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm wondering if they are running that to see if it does a high rating. As in, like, let's say it does a high rating on ABC, the network, not ESPN, the network, but the over-the-air ABC, if it does a good rating, because if it does, maybe an ABC affiliate, I don't know all the places ABC owns, but maybe they will run maybe GFW. That's the only thing I could think of, because I don't know who owns CMT off the top of my head, but I that's the one thing I've been trying to figure out. So it could be that that's the test, or, you know, I guess I can think of so many other things, but realistically, I think that GFW is already dead in the water if you're asking $30 for nosebleed tickets. That's my beef.
I don't think that they're dead in the water. I think that GFW has an opportunity to do something. And I think that if TNA went under, you know, they could really scoop up a lot of that talent. And I think that could really help them out quite a bit. So, but I got to ask you, is there anyone else that you could potentially see in the number two spot? Could you see a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla? Could you see Lucha, you know, all of a sudden come up and be number two, or the repeats of, you know, NJPW on Access TV?
Nah, pretty much. The NJWP. Yes, pretty much. I don't know. This is a tough one. I mean, I can't remember who it is, but they're going to be on Pop TV. But they could be clearly the number two if you want to look at it from that standpoint, because they're going to be in more homes than Spike or Destination America, or I think just as much as USA, if I'm correct. So They're in better shape no matter how you look at it, but you need something proven. I mean, Lucha Underground, don't get me wrong, it's very entertaining, the wrestling's really good, but that's more drama driven, and then you have the wrestling, but it's, to me, it's more focused on drama, period.
Yeah.
And then the wrestling secondary, which you can do, don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I'm actually looking at stuff like hypothetically if someone went to ABC or if anyone's going to be on ABC, there's really not a lot of places. You have History, which I didn't realize ABC owns. Disney, A&E, FYI. Mm-hmm. The Military Channel, which you never know, it could be on there. Oh, you know what? It's going to be on the Lifetime Movie Network. I'm just saying it right now. That's where you're going to see GFW. That's where you're going to see it.
Yeah. I've always thought it'd be a really good spot for it. So,
but yeah, getting back with basically the number two spot, it's really Ring of Honor, no matter how we look at it. It's going to be Ring of Honor. They're going to be around. I see TNA. I really hope they're still around, because the thing about TNA, and I think I've said this before, TNA, it's not that I don't like TNA. I don't like the management. I like the people in TNA. I think that the announcers are decent, but I think the management and the ownership are horrible. I think that's been the problem with them since day one. If you get rid of basically the people, anyone who's in charge, I don't care who it is. I mean, realistically, Jeremy Borash is probably the only thing that's saved TNA multiple times. He should stay. But you're talking everyone else when they got big to come in. He's gone automatically because he doesn't know what he's doing. And there's other people that are gone because they really don't know what they're doing. That is how I look at TNA right now. And I'll say it like I said it before. Management stinks. The wrestlers are awesome. And the storylines are, they're there. But, you know, you can say the same thing about WWE storylines. But like I said, they need to change the taping at the end of next month. You can't have a live show and then tape three straight, basically 6 weeks of episodes, and then have your pay-per-view and not spoil what's going to happen. You can't do that. Ugh. Anyways.
I agree. So, you know, real quick, then a final thing, you know, let's say TNA went under. And, you know, certain TNA guys, they obviously disperse in different areas. Some go to WWE, let's say. Does WWE just increase their lead even more? Because once WCW went out, WCW was the first real competition that WWE had in decades, you know. And so, you know, WCW almost put WWE out of business. And then once they went away, you had Ring of Honor and you had TNA pop up. And they were definitely very indie-like promotions. WWE was way ahead of them. Does WWE's lead increase even more?
Yeah. Basically, the next person that might have any type of chance of catching up with the WWE is Ring of Honor, because they could realistically put out their own network if it was straight video on demand only, and then maybe have a live channel. But... even then, yeah, Ring of Honor's the next. That's the, I mean, I would say Ring of Honor is actually before TNA, the way I look at it, because even though they put out the same amount of shows, the quality, okay, I take that back. They put out an hour show a week, TNA puts out a 2-hour show, but the quality is there, and fans love Ring of Honor, and it's very rare do you hear a person say, wow, these last two Ring of Honor pay-per-views have been horrible. You may have one. You may have a couple TV shows here and there, but you don't hear from the fans a lot that, by the way, they really stunk it up, you know, at this show. So, yeah, the closest one would be Ring of Honor. And I think that they have a long ways to go. I think that they would have to be around for at least 20 years before they can even talk about doing network.
Wow. And
they're close.
I mean, no, and I'm, don't get me wrong, I don't disagree, but it's just, you know, when you think about it, I mean, that's a 20-year plan. You know, I mean,
well, they got
the
like
wrestlers
3 years
aren't gonna be around anymore.
Well, you know? They'll have 3 to 4 years, all right, and before that they can actually get a little bit bigger. But a lot of those guys, there's going to be someone who decides, hey, I'm going to start a wrestling promotion. And they're going to find out real fast on how much money you need to start it and to pay guys and how you have to pay a lot of people things up front. And you're basically, when it's all said and done, you've probably sunk $2 to $3 million and you haven't had a live show yet. And I think that's what Jeff Jarrett's problem is right now. And that's why I think he's asking too much for his tickets. Anyways, WWE is so past a lot of places. And realistically, if the WCW and the ECW tape libraries were still out there and that, you know, they would sell to anyone but WWE, I think by now TNA would have actually bought them. Or someone else would have bought them, or someone who wants to start a wrestling promotion would buy those tapes and bring some guys who are rookies and say, hey, they wrestled here. Or they bring someone like Sting in and say, hey, here's Sting, you know, as a strategic plan. But realistically, no matter how you look at it, WWE is way, way ahead. I mean, I've talked to people that they're like, oh, what's Ring of Honor or what's TNA? What's New Japan Pro Wrestling? What's, you know, insert name here, CCW of all things, you know, Combat Zone Wrestling. They don't know anything about it. I mean, at least most of the stuff I could say, hey, this is a wrestling fan. They'd be like, oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Oh, yeah, those are the matches where they explode and stuff and there's barbed wire. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, the one thing that, you know, if you brought up PWG at one point, I don't see them changing their business plan because they have a good one. They're going to run shows here and they're going to release it on DVD here or they're going to run an IPPV here. That is the smart thing to do, and they're doing very well. Why ruin it? Why make it a weekly TV show? By the way, have you seen any of Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore? I guess
No.
I haven't
either.
Well,
it's not here. It's only in Canada. They're airing it.
Yeah, on the Fight Network. But I thought I got the Fight Network on DirecTV, but apparently I don't. It's straight Canadians. Yeah. Anyway, so what's your thoughts?
I think it'd be really cool to see. You know, he actually made an appearance at an NXT taping, which is kind of neat. You know, he obviously still has a good relationship with WWE, so that's nice. You know, hopefully they are able to get here, you know, because I would love to see another wrestling promotion. You know, right now, you know, I definitely am watching a lot more wrestling than when we first started doing the show, a lot more. I'm glad that wrestling is making a good comeback. There's some things I really like about Ring of Honor that they're doing, things I like about TNA, you know, WWE, that sort of thing. But I think that, you know, we're in kind of a boom period right now. The cream is going to rise to the top. We have storylines now where, as opposed to watching WWE and you're going, oh my God, there's only one storyline I care about. Only one. Now you can say, oh, I care about one there. I care about one here, one this other place. So, but I think, you know, you said before, to just get back on topic real quick, neither of us want TNA to go out. I'm a bigger TNA fan than you are. Not that I'm a huge TNA fan. I just like to call things like I see it. But neither of us want TNA to go out of business because having that strong number two there, I think, is very, very important.
And we do mean number two. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AltMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.